I'm professional.
Oh.
I've got a professional voice. So.
Oh, and we run the most professional podcast that has ever been run.
Oh yeah, and I'll be in. I should be in tip-top shape this time, so I won't blank out on you like I did last show.
Honestly,
I felt so bad. I'm like, oh, I left you out to dry two or three times, and I realized it too late. Like, I heard everything you said, and I'm like, okay. And I was just listening to you instead of processing what you were saying and, like, actually having a conversation like people do. I was just listening. Like, all right. Then I'm like, uh-oh.
My hypnotic voice.
We got to wrap up. So.
Well, grandkids, this is Stunt Granny Audio 645. That is Jeremy Mays. I am Kevin DeFrango, if you aren't familiar already.
Yes.
I would hope so at this point. But, you know, hey, new listeners, right? That's what the gig is.
That's what are those?
That's what everyone says.
Yeah. Yeah, we're both, wait. Yeah, so I said to wait, save it for the show. So did you get your first vaccine?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, spoiler alert, I got mine yesterday, and I have not developed any sort of cool superpowers. So this is a bullshit thing. You don't need to get vaccinated. All those stories we read as a kid, you know, what was it, the Hulk, gamma radiation, which I don't even know if that's real. Considering I just discovered platinum was a real thing.
Well, okay, plutonium so is also real. We could go back to the future if yes. That's where we want to go to.
That's where I learned what plutonium was Back to the Future.
Oh.
And I thought the Libyans had it. So, all right. But yeah, no, I was hoping, like, it'd be, after the weird year we've had, like, from shut down to now, which I know some people are still shut down pretty tight, that I was hoping I would develop something cool. And nothing. I don't even have the sniffles, so.
Oh. Yeah. I'm hoping for an absolutely nothing burger. That would be fantastic, yeah. Honestly.
Well, I'm wondering if because I had it, if that's part of the reason why, but I know my friends who had it, they had a rough night,
uh-huh.
Like bad sweats and stuff. I had nothing, so I wonder if the second one's going to do me in. But and by do me in, I mean I had a fever for a night. Like, okay, cheers.
Well, the weird thing that'll be about that is that I've got to admit, I really enjoyed the past year because I'm like, I didn't get any of that shit because I wasn't around people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think I had one time where my throat felt scratchy, like almost around the beginning of the lockdown, honestly. And then after that, man, that's I haven't gone through a holiday season in the December time frame there without getting sick in at least 10 years. And the fact that I was not sick during any of that time, I'm like, oh, thank fucking goodness.
Dude, you know how pissed off I was? I got the flu shot and I got COVID a week later. I've never had a flu shot in my life. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get it this year and take care of it just to make sure. And I get something that's, I mean, to me, I don't know if it was worse or not, but I know some people, obviously it has been.
Yeah, all right.
But it's like, I didn't have to pay for it, so whatever. But still, like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah, that. Well, that was one that I hadn't done that, but because I'm on the wife's insurance now, it's free and it helps keep our costs down if I go and get a flu vaccine. So it's just like, okay, well, I mean, if it's going to save us money, you've talked me into going to get a flu vaccine.
Yeah, I love how like the flu's been non-existent this year.
Oh,
And it's like,
yeah.
okay, I mean, it's partly this, partly whatever. It's like, okay, like you don't hear about any other diseases right now. Like if someone has cancer, you're like, "Oh, ain't COVID, so whatever." Like I don't know. I don't know what disease is gonna be the one that rears to the front line again. You're like, "Hey, we're the most important one this time." Because you know, when was the titties one? Breast cancer awareness. Was that November?
Yes, I believe so.
Could have fooled me. Nothing. It's like everything else just took a back seat to the one thing. And it's like, wait a minute, this is not how this is supposed to go.
Well, yeah, and that's why it's just like that's why you get people like Bruce Mitchell. Huh, there's no way Luke Harper died of something not COVID related.
Yeah.
It
Especially when
has to be
that
COVID
poor
related.
guy, oh man, he played Josephus, the question mark. He has a brain aneurysm and dies. And nobody, where's the Bruce Mitchells that are going to sit there and go, well, it must have been COVID related. Or was it? Like, no, he had a brain aneurysm. That's how stupid that whole thing was from him. And I've kind of come around to where, like, no, he shouldn't have lost his job, or I don't know if he quit or Wade fired him, whatever it was. But he should be publicly ridiculed for it. I have no problem with that.
Right.
Absolutely no problem with that. But it's like, and that's the extent of it. And if he, the worst thing he did, I think we talked about this before. The worst thing he did is that he fought back. Don't talk. If you do something stupid, if you do something people don't agree with, just be quiet, and then come back a month or two later, and no one's gonna say anything. Or not no one, but you got four people instead of 4,000 people.
Oh,
Just
right, yeah. You
yeah.
really, it's the old Opie and Anthony trick, honestly. Like,
Yes.
they're like, man, just let the uproar die. You'll be okay. Just weather the storm. Like, you know a storm's coming. Just hold it out, and you'll be fine. And
Yep.
it is
And
most of the
you
time.
essentially you take the power away from people who just want to tear you down for being stupid. So it's like,
Yeah.
and in his case, obviously it was much, I mean, I don't know, much worse, but he's like insensitive and really, I mean, borderline attacking his widow,
Oh.
you know? So that's, I mean, that's a pretty big line in the sand to draw, but it's not something you can't come back from. So
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. That was the weirdest thing about that whole situation. Like, I don't understand why you were that strong about it. Like, why?
yeah.
Like I said, and I even think I said when we record those podcasts, like, I've got to admit, like, it seemed weird at the time to me, but like, I wasn't gonna go online and start accusing his wife of lying to us. Like, what possesses someone to do that?
Oh, I didn't realize he's back on Twitter.
Oh,
So.
yeah, I've seen him trying to make a comeback, and I just, because for some reason it's still in my feed, and I just start chuckling, or it's in the Stunt Granny feed, I should say. It's not actually in
No, not mine.
my account, because I'm just too lazy. There are some people I should just stop following, honestly. But the Bruce Mitchell ones, like, I used to see like the number of likes, and not that it was crazy high or anything, but he's still got a decent amount of response most of the time on Twitter, and to see him getting like less than a Stunt Granny post is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, now all of his tweets are locked down, which doesn't make any sense to me. Having like private tweets, unless you're showing like, you know, nudity or something, having private tweets don't make any sense because you're supposed to be a public forum. So if you lock it down and only approve certain people, like one, I immediately go, what are you saying? Like, what are you hiding behind this that you don't want everyone knowing?
Oh, that's kind of hilarious that the Stunt Granny account made the lockdown then.
Oh, yes, it is. That's very weird. But
yeah, because I mean, I know we're still blocked by gold dust.
That still cracks me up, man. I have no idea what the hell for.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like, if I had some idea of why we got banned, I'd be like, okay, but like, I don't even remember Dusty like going, "Hey, by the way, he got so pissed off at me, he blocked us." Or Eric saying that, like, because that's how long ago it happened, too.
I'm guarantee it was something Dusty did. Because my target was Matt Hardy all those years ago.
Oh, right.
And I don't think we're actually blocked by him either.
No, we are not.
Which is just bizarre.
Yeah, that's one of the few ones that I'm like, oh, man, if we deserved a block, it's definitely from Matt Hardy.
Absolutely. I would have no problem with that. I'd be like, yeah, I deserve that one. Because especially, it's like, it's funny being older now, looking at the stuff you used to write, going, man, you're just being a dick. Like, taking joy in someone's downfall, that's like, I don't know. I still do get in that mode. I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
But not to the point. I mean, that was my lane. Like, what a shitty thing to do. And
yeah, it's, well, and honestly, like, that was our whole kind of model for Stunt Granny, honestly. Like, we liked that What Would Tyler Durden Do site.
Yes.
When, what's his name? I'm trying to think of his name, because I still follow him on Twitter, but...
It's Brendan something.
Yeah. But, like, he was so harsh, and we're like, oh, yeah, let's kind of do that, but... professional wrestling instead of just the entertainment industry. So yeah, like it was pretty harsh. Like, and yes. Oh, man, I
was the one that got one of his videos taken down after I wrote about how he was shocking his girlfriend with a taser on a video, and all of a sudden he posted about they had to get taken down because some people are, I'm like, oh, that was me. Yes. But I never said he had to take it down. I was like, hey, look at this idiot. I mean, that video, if I remember right, maybe have this wrong, they're all bleary-eyed and just on something, drunk, whatever. And it's like, guys, yeah, that's not a good look for WWE stars. And then I think he was gone shortly after. So,
yeah, he was a little out of control.
Yes.
That one was, it was an easy one to run with.
Yeah.
Like him, Kurt Angle is another one that got it pretty hard, that if we ever got blocked by Kurt Angle, I would have been like, yeah, I understand.
See, I was just about to say, like, if I almost feel compelled to apologize to Matt Hardy if I was ever face to face, he would have no idea who I am.
Oh, right. You know what I mean?
But I would still feel compelled to be like, hey, you don't know me. You probably have known nothing about me, but I owe you an apology. And he'd be like, what? Like, what'd you say? I'm like, that's not important, sir. So just accept my apology, please. And I'm very happy you turned your life around. Because I am. I'm very happy. Kurt Angle, I would never, like, I never said anything. That was Eric's lane. And no. Hell no. Like, no. Because I'm not scared of Matt Hardy. But Kurt Angle, I don't care how many broken freaking necks he's had, that dude still looks like he would tear you apart. I know he's slower. Yeah. I know he's stiffer, but no.
Yeah, I'm older. I'm slower and stiffer too. So, yeah, still no. The answer is still I am proportionately old to him. So, yeah, there's probably not going to be a time frame. Maybe if I'm in my 50s and he's in his 60s, like, I think that might be a point where there'd be a no return point.
Yeah, for you. Yeah, no. No, 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 no. That man was an Olympic gold medalist. Like, I know it's like the thing he does in wrestling, but that's legit.
Oh,
that
right.
That doesn't go away. You're a dead man. If every time you hear someone talk about like him wrestling or stuff, they're like, oh god, yeah, Kurt, blah blah blah, this and this, like, no, I'm good. So Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, so get your vaccines, guys. So. But yeah, no, to round the vaccine thing up real quick, so as usual, getting aside. Man, I don't like getting shots to this day. I was all nervous. I'm like, God damn it, I hate this stuff. Because, all right, one, don't you think that, like, I got mine in a CVS, and I was just sitting in a chair in front of the pharmacy. As far as I remember, you're supposed to be getting shots in a sterile environment. And I can guarantee you, that is not a CVS. So, I mean, I think it's weird people are getting shots in their car. Let alone sitting on a plastic chair in a CVS. That was so weird.
Yeah, I think I might be going to an office or something like that where a clinic is setting up.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm checking to see because I it is a medical center.
Okay.
For some reason I was thinking it was an office when the wife booked it for me, because I'm doing it down near my office since most of them seem to be doing like regular office hours. As far as when you can get the shot, like the ones that were available for us were all like office hour ones. And it's just like, dude, you're not really factoring in people that commute an hour and 20 minutes one way every day.
Well, I had around here, I think I mentioned last show, I don't know if it was on air or not, but I'm considered obese. Cool. It's been that way for 10, 15 years. Now, listen, I'm a little chubby. But a lot of it's muscle now. It's not. I'm not the fat guy I used to be. So fuck them. I took advantage of it, and you know they said, "Well, if you have a high blood pressure, cool. Signed up, got it. Elise is going as well." And then we just then you go in. They can't ask you why you're there, other than are you here for a vaccine? Like, yeah. So there's one way. There's that way of taking advantage of it, but. I was so nervous going into that thing that I'm like, oh, my God. All I felt was like she was pressing her finger into my shoulder. And she goes, okay, that's it. What? Oh. It took like 2 seconds. And then you do have to wait 15 minutes after, though.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I did hear about that. One of my coworkers went earlier this week, and he said that – the tetanus shot that he had recently was worse than getting the COVID shot. And because of the aforementioned insurance change, I also had to get a tetanus shot because I had not been getting regular physicals and I wasn't completely sure when I had last gotten a tetanus shot. So they just gave one to me. So if it's going to be less than that, yeah, I'm not really concerned at all. Plus, you're also talking to an idiot that pierced his nipples, so.
Yeah, and got his tongue pierced, too.
And the tongue wasn't.
Still one of the funniest fucking weird nights I've ever had.
The tongue wasn't quite as bad. It hurt a little bit. The eyebrow was definitely the easiest. The tongue was next. The nipples were terrible. And that's still the worst pain that I've ever gone through.
Wow. I think they've got the technique down a lot better now, because I know some girls that have them done, and they're like, yeah, burn for like 10 seconds, and it was fine.
I don't know how they could have done it any better, honestly. But the guy just, because the first one wasn't bad, the second one was the one that hurt, because they're like, hey, your body kind of knows what to expect now, so this one's going to hurt a little bit more. And the guy just, you know, he re-sterilized the needle or got a second sterilized needle. It's been so long ago, I don't remember which. And went through the other nipple. And that hurt like hell.
I forgot you even had that done until you just reminded me of that. The tongue one always stands out. Because I saw you almost right after you had it done.
Oh, yeah.
And
you were working
like
down
you were
this.
High as shit. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, I just got my tongue pierced. I'm like, what? What'd you do that for? Because I was leaving work or whatever. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that was like, oh, okay, you have fun with that one, buddy. No. Yeah, so no, it's not nearly as bad as that.
Oh.
And I can't remember the last time I had a tetanus shot, but I know it was a couple years ago. And everyone, like, to me, the buildup in my head to get a shot, and yes, I'm 47, is much worse than the actual shot. It's just like, okay, all right, so they keep showing this stuff on TV. They're showing people getting swords put into their arm. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is that needle so long? And then that's what I was expecting. And it wasn't. She's like, all right, there you go. I'm like, cool. Now watch, the second one's gonna suck, and I'm gonna bitch about it on the show after that, but whatever. But
Well, that is also why I'm like, hey, if I can get a Friday, this will work out kind of nice. Because the second one seems to be the problem child.
yeah, we'll see. Mine's a Wednesday. I'm working from home, so it doesn't matter. So
Yeah. So
it's just nice.
it's nice that I don't really have anything to worry about. As far as taking time off, it might throw off my disc golf schedule with Ken, but we'll see. I hope
Yeah.
not.
But no, what always cracks me up now is, it doesn't make me laugh. I find it sad. And then we'll get to wrestling, I promise. So, have you had these people that won't get the vaccine because they don't want, they don't know what's in it and they don't know what it can cause? Or, like, they don't want to put something like that in their body?
Oh, no. Thank goodness I don't. Because
Oh, my God.
obvious, I might have expected something like that out of my coworkers. But no one's gone with that. I wouldn't be completely surprised if the one guy that's out of the office doesn't end up getting one.
Yeah.
Because he started to wonder the other day if the whole thing was made up.
Well, no. I mean, it's
Just,
anyways,
yep, that's I'm like,
that
I'm
train
just
of
moving
thought.
along. I'm.
Yeah, the train of thought though, like, well, I don't know what's in that. I'm going to put it in my body. I'm like, okay, have a six or seven more beers then. Shut the fuck up. Like, I understand why black people are kind of trepidatious about it. It's kind of a history there.
Oh.
But hey, guys, all right, come on. You guys are the ones getting bumped off at a more alarming rate than white people or anybody else. Hispanics are trying to catch up to you, but it hasn't been happening. So let's go. Like, and I know there's still a disparity between, certain, how can I put this the way the news would put it? Certain communities are
Oh.
getting it more so than other communities. And I'm like, okay, well, then we got to fix that. So they started to around here at least. I don't know about the rest of the country,
Yeah, I'm not
but to
quite
have someone.
sure what that disparity is here in Ohio, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've seen the raw numbers, but I don't really pay attention to anything more than that.
Well, and I'm just gonna say it this way because I don't feel like trying to gussy it up. Where I got my shot at, it was in one of the poor sides of Charlotte. And being from Detroit, if anyone's like from a city where if you see a bunch of people in the middle of the day just milling about doing nothing on a street corner, you know you're not in the best part of town. It doesn't matter what color you are, that's just what it is. It's like, oh, there's some poor ass people around here, huh? And the funny thing is, someone got murdered the next night, 2 blocks down from where I got my shot. So,
Oh.
but. So those are the neighborhoods that I went into to get my shot, but people in that neighborhood are at a, I don't want to say disadvantage, that's the wrong word, but more people in that community are not getting the vaccine than people who don't live in that community are.
Oh,
And I don't know if
yeah.
it's because of fear or availability, whatever else, but they made it a point now to where they're actually setting up like mobile units, setting up places inside to get it. And it's like, God damn, I don't think this is going into a weird spot section, but it's like,
Oh.
I get it why some people don't, but for perfectly healthy people who have no history of, I'm not getting this thing because of, no, shut up. Just shut the fuck up. Cool. Keep smoking your synthesized weed out of your vape pen, jackass. Like, just shut up.
Yeah, they put something terrible in their bodies. If they have hot dogs, if they have hot dogs at all, they're putting weird stuff into their bodies. And do not get me wrong, I am not maligning hot dogs. I will eat a hot dog in about 5 seconds flat.
Yes.
But yes. I still am knowingly ingesting weird pig parts.
Yeah, you say pig.
No. Well, so I know it's at least point. Not shellfish.
Yeah, true.
I would definitely know that if there was part shellfish in that stuff. But
like I said, I was home for superpowers. At the very least, I'm hoping that the microchip that's in me now, I can get some sweet Wi-Fi, and we'll just leave it at that. So, yay. It's just, that's part of the problem with a pandemic and us sitting around. You really start to discover how stupid some people are. So.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
But wrestling wasn't stupid Wednesday night. I actually thoroughly enjoyed both shows.
There was a lot of good wrestling on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, I actually watched the AEW the whole way through, and I only groaned once or twice. Once was the end of the main event. I really hated the ending. But
ooh, yeah, that was not a good ending.
Overall, though, they're finally getting somewhere. Like, I loved the interaction with Hangman Page and John Silver. He's like, you know what, win or lose, at least they're going to love you. Or they'll still support you, whatever else. Because he didn't feel supported by the Elite when, like, things were going bad with him. So that was kind of a cool callback. And then, you know, you've got all that stuff with Kenny Omega getting in the Young Bucks' face. That was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting that already.
Yeah, it did seem to be getting to a breaking point. I think it was last week when they had a confrontation. Because was that when he was trying to give them the wolf pack the first time, or was that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago. Last week was Don Callis telling them how they got soft. And that's why Kenny Omega doesn't want to talk to him.
Yeah, okay. So.
Yes.
Which is hilarious considering we just went through. I mean, I guess now that they're into the angle, like you said, they're kind of going somewhere. But, like, full context-wise, it's silly considering that just before this, the angle that the Young Bucks were involved in was them super kicking announcers and not caring about any of the rules.
They dropped that so quick. I don't know if there was a greater plan for that, or if that was just for them to get an edge, and, you know, that's how they were supposed to get the tag championships, which is still a weird thing with them, but.
Oh, yeah.
Just to beat FTR, and there was never a rematch. That's so bizarre to me. Like, it seemed rushed. That was a match that should have never happened without a crowd. But, whatever.
Well, I mean, everyone had a calendar year, and I think that everyone ended up with a handful of those matches of, hey, we were trying to hold out for a crowd, but it just didn't happen kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't really completely blame them for pulling the trigger on one of those. Because, I mean, I can't think of one in the WWE offhand, honestly, but I know that there's been a few.
WWE pulling the trigger on stuff is pretty much how they do business now, so. So anyways, I'm trying not to go off on a divergent path, but. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed that show. I was a little surprised, and this was kind of groan-inducing, only because I don't watch Dark all the time, I didn't realize that was the rubber match between Taya Conte and Nyla Rose.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so when they were saying that, I was like, oh, okay. So Taya Conte winning, I was like, all right, that kind of makes sense then. But I'm still sticking to my guns. Nyla Rose shouldn't be losing at all. She's the biggest woman they have. Like, and no offense, I mean, if some kid comes up to me and knows jiu-jitsu or whatever, I'm going to fucking murder him.
Oh.
Because I outweigh him. Okay, try and get me down, stupid. I'll smack you in the head and knock you down. Like,
yeah, especially when it's that level of a weight disparity. Like, she doesn't even have anyone around that is close to, like... Because, like, even Britt Baker, like, she's a little bit taller, but she's not, like, Charlotte tall. You know? Like, so you can understand... You can completely understand why Charlotte can compete against someone like Nia Jax, who is at least a similar size to Nyla Rose.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, I can buy this. But yeah, Ty Conti is like a solid 100 pounds lighter than Nyla Rose. It's just like, okay, guys. And... I think it's easier to buy into strikers in that situation because they can stay away from the opponent.
Yeah.
But when you have someone like a jiu-jitsu and even judo, because I think they mentioned that a number of times for being an area of excellence for her, like, that's all, like, gripping and, you know, close combat kind of stuff. And... as you point out, that's where you're at more of a disadvantage. Like, if you can do a hit-and-run thing, it works out way better than trying to out-grapple someone 100-plus pounds heavier than you.
Yeah. But, I don't know, the match still worked, and it was fine. I was just surprised, and I still think they don't treat Nyla Rose the way they should.
Well, so, when I watched that last night, I put out on Twitter that I do think that Ty Conti has improved. I kind of liked her in the WWE, and they've let her develop. It seems like AEW has let her develop that ground-based game a little bit more in her months wrestling over there. So yeah. I'm happy for her because, and they definitely seem to have been pushing her. So I'm not really completely surprised, but I'm also in that camp with you where it's just like Nyla Rose shouldn't be the one in this position.
Right. That's it. Yeah, and that's the skinny of it. Like I don't know who else Ty Conte could be. You know.
Yeah, and that
whatever, but
yeah, and then that's the problem is that they've got no one else credible for people to beat, especially in like the women's division has gotten better, but it's still really shallow.
Yeah, they've got so many women that they all right, and I mean this for real. No, there's no smartass comic coming. They have so many women that they need their own show. Just like I keep saying with WWE. Because you have Dark. You have Dark. Now it's called Dark Elevation.
Well, no, it's two different shows.
Yes. No. It was AEW Elevation, and then it was AEW Dark. Now it's AEW Dark Elevation. That's what the wrestlers were saying last night.
Oh.
So I was totally confused what the hell was going on. And there's really no difference between the shows, except Paul White does the announcing. So I, you know, just a little confused. So,
oh, that's,
yeah. I don't know. Unless I misunderstood what they were saying.
Okay, because I guess I thought that now AEW had 2, 4, 6 hours of programming. Because I did watch.
Yeah.
I watched Dark while we were recording on Tuesday while Chris and I were recording.
Yeah.
And I think I'm in his camp now in that a lot of those matches, I'm not even sure they need to be on YouTube.
Yeah, some of them are pretty boring. So usually our AEW Dynamite talk just turns into AEW discussion, so whatever. But
yeah,
AEW's roster is out of control. They keep signing people. They keep having people show up to the point where, like, when was Christopher Daniels on TV last?
I saw him on Dark, and I'm just like, huh?
Yeah. I mean this in the nicest way, because he's older than me, but
oh yeah,
he has transformed into, hey, I'm in the twilight of my career / I don't wrestle much anymore, because he's like the head of talent relations, I guess, which I didn't know. So it's like, cool, but remember they had an entire story with him and Kazarian, how if they lost one more match, that was it. They weren't going to team up anymore. And as far as I know, they've never had that breakup match.
Did they just have a tag team match on Dark?
Probably.
Or they just had a promo.
Man, I had to cut back on, and be dead serious, I had to cut back on my amount of wrestling watching. I've been slowly watching Raw again because the show's not good. But they're doing some stuff right. Oh, because WrestleMania's in a couple weeks. NXT, right. AEW. I'm watching UK when there's something that interests me, because that's another hour of TV. So, all right. So right there, I got, 3, 2, 2, 7, 8, 9 when I was watching MLW. I was watching AEW Dark, which one time came in at 2.5 hours. Then they came up with Elevation, Ring of Honor, Impact for 2 hours. I'm at 10 hours already. And then, goddamn, what else was there? There's something else, and I'm like, I can't keep doing this. Like, I have to pull back finally, and I finally did. So,
yeah, it's like I still tape Ring of Honor, but it seems that like. It seems like when I get a weekend where we're not actually doing something, and I mean, that is the other funny thing, like, oh, I can't wait to get back outside again, and I'm like, I've been outside, like, this whole fucking time, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you can hang around a couple of people and be outside and not be in your house. But anyway, yeah. Pandemic talk.
I know, but, because no one's tired of a pandemic, so.
So, yeah, like, we still do some stuff on the weekends that doesn't involve me watching TV, and it's just like, so, like, but there are weekends where it's, you know, whatever, maybe it's raining all weekend, it was snowing, you know, possibly winter, and it's just like, oh, okay, and I end up catching I'll watch a couple of consecutive ROHs. But that's the way I end up watching that now. Like, it's hard for me to watch that on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't like Ring of Honor's presentation. It's just because I don't like UK. I don't like NXT UK's presentation. The lack of crowd kills me. And yes, we are going to talk about crowd noise.
Oh, but, my gosh.
Oh, my God. But.
Yeah.
It's just a turnoff for me. And it's not that the matches are bad, because they're not. And honestly, it's not because Ring of Honor's booking's bad, because it's not. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
they're like, all right.
The pure tournament thing has really given them some level of focus to their writing. And it's kept, you know, they've still kind of moved along on the non-pure. Like, they started out pure, you know, like, all about the pure tournament. But now they've transitioned into keeping other parts of the company, you know, back online. And it's all worked pretty well. Like, their lack of crowd sucks a lot.
Yes.
And I'll definitely agree. Like, Chris can't watch it because there's no crowd, but I just go with it. It really, if their storylines were worse, I'd be bummed. But they really seem to be working some good stuff in with their stories and their stables and how they're dividing up the roster. And like, I don't know if that's what helped them, is that they almost kind of categorized their roster and kept people to those categories rather than trying to intermix them.
Yeah, I'm a couple weeks behind on Ring of Honor, so I can't. I don't know. Did things change?
I think I have two episodes now. Like, I got all caught up because I wanted. Did I see the Shane? It was the one Shane Taylor match. Did he take on Rouge, I think, in a main event? I want to say. I believe I caught that for the World Championship. And then I haven't watched since then.
Oh, okay. I don't know if Ring of Honor could afford it, but I think that'd be a cool place for Andrade to show up with the Mexican talent they have there. Another one, have a pretty badass stable, or have him just go in and fight. But anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so it's like the cutback on wrestling. So AEW, like, the roster's ridiculous. But I've noticed in the last few weeks, besides the Good Brothers, who that whole thing still confuses me, they're focusing a lot of, they're focusing a lot on the same people. And I think that's made the show better.
Oh.
Like, everyone knew Matt Sydal was not beating Kenny Omega, right?
Yes, but I hope
it was
so.
Fine. Yeah, but it was fine to have that as a jobber. A competitive match, jobber loses.
Well, and they did a nice job of dressing it up, too, by talking about their history. And it did help that their history has taken place at some championship level matches.
Yeah. Yes.
So that, you know, there was a little bit of a history there. So it gave it some backstory that was really nice, honestly. Yes.
Yeah. Because weren't they in, what, FCW together? Wasn't that it?
Oh, I don't know. But because they didn't talk about that. But the Super J Cup, I think, was one of the matches in New Japan. And another one might have been for, I know they don't call it the, is it the junior? Yeah, junior heavyweight.
Right.
Yes. Championship.
Yes.
I haven't watched New Japan in so long, I'm forgetting what their.
I had to let it go. I enjoyed it. That was one I was like, I put the boat in the lake and walked away. Just let the tide take it out. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe someday I'll come back.
Well,
maybe I should. Maybe, like, as much as I don't enjoy Raw, notice I didn't mention SmackDown at all, by the way. So, I don't know.
SmackDown's the better show, but it still suffers from Friday-itis for me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it would have to be impossible to be worse than Raw. So
yeah, no, it's been really good. Like, with Roman Reigns, SmackDown's been pretty great, honestly. They've been the more focused show recently, which is kind of weird. Like, almost the whole time we've been running Stunt Granny, I'd say if you went back and listened to all the podcasts, SmackDown was better at least 70% of the time. If you listen to our shows. And I don't think right now is any different. Like, Raw's been good the last couple of weeks. But SmackDown's better. But I still also, like, buzz through it because for whatever reason, it doesn't like to tape on my DVR. And YouTube highlights are really help out. And Raw still shows a lot of those highlights too.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you what, I love how we can't stay on top of anything, which has kind of been the hallmark or the trademark of the show anyways, but so yeah. You know, they got the dumbass Shane and Braun Strowman thing, right? On Raw. You know, like, this is just dumb. And it doesn't make sense. Shane can't remember his lines. Braun's got to look, stand there, looks like an idiot. But did you see Braun Strowman's promo on Raw Talk? Or is that what it is? Talking Raw or whatever?
Oh, no.
It was awesome. It was just Braun just going off, like, I don't know, going off script, whatever. He's talking about people used to call him stupid because he had a reading disability, I think he said. Or learning disability when he was young. People used to call him stupid. And he looked legitimately pissed off. And like that's like he goes, Xavier Woods was saying something. And he goes, Xavier, you know damn well he scared me because he knows I can pull the flesh off someone if I wanted to. He goes, you know it. Shane McMahon knows it. All these people know it. And he just fired up. And it made me interested in that match. And I guarantee to you, no one wrote that for him.
Oh.
That's like something that's been living in him. And even at the end, like Xavier's eyes were like, holy crap. Like, okay. Because Braun just like dropped the mic and left. Because that's all I got to say. And I was like, God damn, man. Yeah. Where the hell's this been? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because no one wrote it for you. That's why. So.
That's hilarious, though, because he's been getting clowned for some grammar mistakes on Instagram this week.
Yeah, well, that's why. I mean, it's funny because I know people can have learning or reading disabilities, right?
Yeah.
And just because you overcome it doesn't mean that you've beaten them.
Oh.
You know, so it's like if you mess something up, maybe that's part of it, or maybe, yeah, you just messed up, you know? But
yeah,
but no, but it's like that. That's been the best part of Raw. I know you didn't watch too much of this, but this version of Bobby Lashley is the Bobby Lashley that should have came into WWE.
I mean,
oh my God! All right,
because I didn't see a lot of his TNA run, but I think I saw enough highlights that. It just makes sense. They just played him as the badass heel.
Yes.
Like it's not like Impact reinvented the wheel with his presentation. They just presented him the way he should have been presented back in the day, should have been presented in the WWE before the most recent run. The WWE just overthinks it for whatever reason, like with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we got to find out. I read something about how Vince McMahon, there was an interview with him. He goes, I always see somebody as they're in a box. So when you come up to me, you're in a box. And you have to show me that you can do something outside of that box. And I'm like, what a narrow-minded way of thinking. Like, that's just stupid. And it logically doesn't make sense because if somebody comes up in a box and you go, okay, I want you to get outside of this box. Okay. And then they tape it all down, put chains over it, bury it, and go, all right, get out of the box now. I was like, there's literally no way I can do this. Well, see, you can't get out of the box. You're out of here. Like, no, it makes you a fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
But they let Drew McIntyre talk. They let Bobby Lashley talk. Sheamus has improved. It's like I was talking about the last show on Raw. They have a main event scene, and they just can't help themselves. Like, them giving away Bobby Lashley and Sheamus, that was stupid. Drew McIntyre just beat Sheamus. So why would you have him the next night? And I know Sheamus tried to explain it later. But why would you have him fight the next night? You've got your main event scene set up in front of you. Get out of the way. Your next match is Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. Cool. And you know what? I don't care who wins that. But I don't think, like, as a fan, I don't want to see the badass Bobby Lashley lose. And I know he's supposed to be a bad guy, but he's a badass. Why would I root against a guy that's a badass? That makes no sense. He's getting mad at his friends for interfering? What, I'm supposed to boo this man now? Like, what?
Yeah, that's one where you kind of wanted to talk about the crowds.
Oh, God.
I am really, really interested to see the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of this stuff. Like, that's, like you said, like, it doesn't seem like, it seems like, well, I don't want to say that Drew's the bad guy in that situation, but you are really making Lashley look like a badass recently. Like you said, like, if he's just like, hey, you guys are doing the interference thing wrong, it would be one thing. But he's going, stay the fuck out of my match.
Yep. Yep. And he's, like, bossing him around, which is kind of weird to see Shelton. I mean, no offense to Cedric, but he's, I'm going to, in air quotes, the rookie of the group. You know?
Yeah.
Even though he's probably in his late 20s by now.
But, yeah, even though he's been wrestling for 10 plus years now.
Yeah. But no, it's just like, okay, like, where's this coming from all of a sudden? But I guess they want to make the main event look as legitimate, badass as possible, because the other matches they've had together have been good. So, but no, it's, but that's like getting, like, focusing your roster makes the product better. And to circle back around, that's what AEW's been doing. It's a consistently the same people again. I know, like, the Inner Circle's all been gone, as they should be, by the way. Like, not one of them was on the show because they got their ass kicked. Good. That's kind of nice instead of getting, you know, having a match against a champion the next day. But, you know, everything, yeah. They had some good backstage stuff. They had good interviews. The matches were good. The show flew by. They're making a star out of Britt Baker.
Oh, my gosh. That she's was. So great. Yeah, she's just killing it.
And the thing is, like, everyone wanted to cheer for her after that match. And she guaranteed you wouldn't. Like, how good is she with that? That was crazy. Like, you're like, oh, you're still a bitch. Never mind.
Yeah, like, there are very few people. I'm trying to think of who we've been talking about being a genuine heel. Recently on the men's side, but Britt
MJF for sure.
MJF.
MJF and FTR, those guys are impossible to root for.
FTR.
You can recognize someone's talent, but character wise, hell no.
I just kind of feel sad for them that they have Tully Blanchard around.
We can do an entire show on the size of factions and what works and what doesn't.
We've definitely trod on that territory recently.
Yeah. And I mean, having five guys and a manager doesn't make any sense. But whatever. So it disturbs the dynamic. So
whatever. Oh yeah.
But yeah.
So we went from AEW to NXT back to AEW here. I'm trying to think of what other roster focusing. I'm never going to argue with Rey Fénix being on my TV, but I did find it a little bit odd that wasn't it Laredo Kid that ended up making the pinfall victory in that matchup?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Phoenix. No, you're right. It was Laredo Kid. Because Pac's hurt, which is why he's in there.
Which is fine, you know. If you want to have one of their buddies fill in the meantime so that you can continue to have your trios matches.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Laredo Kid's not a bad substitute. Just going to throw that out there. So it's like, oh, okay. And I loved Omega attacking at the end, and he go, I remember you, and he starts beating up on him. I go, oh, yeah, I'm glad you remember because I forgot all about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like they just threw some bum in there. We're like, all right, you're going to do this, and he gets the pin. So,
yeah. They didn't do what the Young Bucks did and threw in Brandon Cutler.
Yeah, I don't know. Brandon Cutler is, one, everything about him makes no sense. He's in good shape. He seems to be a decent wrestler. But his name's Brandon Cutler, and he comes out dressed like a dragon.
Yeah, I saw his entrance for the first time on Tuesday during the show, and I just was like, I went back to something that I know that you and I talked about, I think, before I hit record, but played Dungeons and Dragons as a kid, still have an affinity for such things. I have read Lord of the Rings, I don't know how many times at this juncture. But presenting yourself as a dragon while not having any real skills is just not good, you know? Like, it just makes you look dorky in a bad way. You know, if you could roll it into some type of... And I guess the best I can think of is Finn Balor going demon. You know, if you can work it in as, hey, I become the dragon in my big matches or something like that, I can work with that. But coming out with a 20-sided dice and then a dragon helmet on, that's not cutting it for me. You know, especially in this day and age, what I should be expecting in a top-notch wrestling production, that is below the standard, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and then there's QT Marshall.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, you're the one that said you kind of thought he was okay in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Maybe he is, but this segment was just stupid. Like, and the other thing, I actually thought Cody said he wasn't going to wrestle him because, hey, I'm obviously have my arm in a sling. And instead he goes, you know what, I'm not going to, if I got the figure four on you, I'm not going to tap you out. If I hit you with the crossroads, I'm not going to follow through. And I'm like, what are we doing then? Like, everything you're saying doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was like, hold on, you're going to be healed up by next week?
Yeah.
Like, because even if he's cleared to wrestle next week, wouldn't you want to, you know, say, work the strength back into your arm prior to having a match?
Yeah, I mean, unless that's why, you know, it's going to turn out QT's been trying to take advantage of that or something. But again, I don't care.
Well, and I think that's more, to me, Marshall's problem is that, a lot of the story has taken place on Dark.
Yep.
So a lot of people haven't seen it, and now you're bringing it to Dynamite, and everyone's going, what the fuck? And no one cares about QT Marshall.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to say that he was a decent wrestler in Ring of Honor, but they actually gave him some mic time and he wrestled regularly. QT Marshall has been with AEW the whole time and has barely made it on TV in a year and a half.
And honestly, nor should he. His biggest angle they had was when the bunny was taking advantage of him. Yeah, that's it. Like, okay.
Well,
I mean, it's not like he should have been on TV to begin with. So,
well, and again, their huge ass roster, like, he's not good enough to crack even their huge ass roster.
Yeah.
Or they go more like they've signed a lot of younger indie guys. Like, hey, if you want to go that route, cool, I'm for it. But that means bumping guys like Marshall off TV also.
Mm-hmm. Or you keep him on Dark for the 2.5-hour episodes, you know? I mean, he apparently does a lot backstage. He trains a lot of people. Oh. Cool. Okay, good.
Yeah. Again,
and that's
like
the end of that.
If you do that, that's great, but it also doesn't mean that you should be rewarded with valuable TV time on the main product when the vast majority of fans haven't seen you nor care about you.
Yeah, and again, I know all this sounds harsh, but goddamn, man. I mean,
I guess I don't. Yeah, I don't really care because I think we've defined it well enough to, you know, not be sounding like complete dicks about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why there are times where I'm like, I think that's why I don't even feel like talking about things on Twitter sometimes. It's just like, I don't have enough space to talk about this. Like, there's more room than a quip to, you know, what's going on here.
Right.
And even with the extended tweet abilities that, you know, got expanded years ago at this point, it's still not enough. So
yeah, I haven't used Twitter since I did wish Steve a happy birthday, but outside of that, I haven't used Twitter in a year. So They increased the amount you can type on there?
Oh, yeah, a few years ago.
Oh, okay. Wasn't my thing. Most of the Twitter now just seems like delusional ramblings from people. So I like the old days where I was like, hey, had a burrito, decided to get some spicy queso this time. Like, oh, the way Twitter was intended. Okay, cool. Well,
that's what I still do. It's just like, hey, I was listening to this music. I like it.
Yeah. Shit, a spicy queso burrito sounds awesome right now.
Oh, fuck. Man, we had some new delicious pizza. Well, it's not really new, but we found a couple of places we hadn't tried when we moved to this side of town.
Oh, nice.
And it was their wings. They had a Thursday special for wings, and they were delicious in the pizza was excellent also. So it's just like, oh man, another option. I'm good with that because, we had only whittled it down to one place, which was not good. There are a lot of pizza shops in the fine city of Columbus. And when there's only one in your side of town, that's good. That is weird news. There should be more than that.
It's funny. We discovered a good pizza joint on Wednesday. This is our transition to NXT, by the way. So, but
Some people like other pizzas.
Yeah, I was very surprised because that's one thing I've been complaining about is the Mexican and pizza here. Not Mexican pizza, but just like Mexican food and pizza has been severely lacking here to me. So it was nice that we finally found a good Mexican joint, and then I think we found a good pizza joint. Not that we order pizza that often anymore, so.
No.
But.
Yeah.
But speaking of, like, you know, like, you've variety. So that's what Wednesdays are for now. And, oh, it's all right. Real quick. This kind of goes along with it. So NXT is moving. So you're going to have Raw on Monday.
Oh, did NXT, they officially confirm that?
They haven't, but everyone knows it's coming. I don't know why they're keeping it a secret. Doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
And then Impact today announced they're moving to Thursdays. So think about this. You're going to have Monday night Raw, Tuesday night NXT, Wednesday night AEW. If you keep going, Impact Wrestling on Thursday, SmackDown on Friday, Ring of Honor, which airs on Saturdays, and possibly if there's pay-per-views, those will be on Sunday. Not including NXT UK, if you decide to watch, is on Thursday as well. You know? So,
yeah.
It's literally wrestling on every day of the week.
And that doesn't count any independent wrestling on IWTV.
Oh, god damn, I forgot. The NWA's back on Fight TV now. I forgot all about that. And New Japan World on Roku TV, I think, is on Thursday as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So, man, it's just stuff all over.
Yeah, there is literally, because that's one of the other reasons, and this was mostly an off-mic thing, but that was kind of the main reason why Chris and I are like, if Tuesday, Thursday's been working for everyone, we should just keep on doing that, because there's wrestling. Now that, well, until NXT is officially confirmed Tuesday, I guess it's not every day of the week, but it's pretty much every, you know, like you said, Impact is confirmed at this point. That means Tuesday is the only hole, honestly. And it would make sense for NXT to move to it, honestly. Like, and I mean, I've said this from the beginning when this whole Wednesday Night War started. Like, I don't do the two screen thing. I can't watch both shows.
No.
You know, like, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to both shows if I'm trying to watch them at the same time. So if it moves to a different night, that is fine by me. You know, like, I don't watch them at the same time. It's stupid. Like, you're not really paying attention. Like, I don't care who you are, how smart you are. You're not really watching either show if you're watching both of them at the same time. Because, A, you can't be listening to the sound to both of them at the same time. And if you are, you're fucking with yourself even more than I think you are.
Yeah. No, you're right. You cannot do it justice.
Yeah.
I honestly do not think it's possible.
And that's it. And I don't know if I've gotten that into Chris or not, but I still think that he's not as enamored with the Wednesday shows, but I just like the wrestling more and the presentation more for both shows.
Oh yeah.
Like the NXT has, sure. And I mean, you and I have talked about NXT has had their story problems recently, and it mostly was because everything ended up getting dedicated to the Dusty Cup.
Yeah.
And it really, because I feel like the storylines were fine up until that point, honestly. And
well, ever since they went head-to-head with AEW, I think the stories have been kind of goofy. Oh. So I'm hoping that they slow down again, like the way they used to. And we can get stuff like built up for a while. Like, even like the only one that's really kind of been built is Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Because, I mean, when Kyle O'Reilly was going through his whole run, everyone was just waiting for Adam Cole to get pissed at him. And now it's happened. So, oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, it was almost awkward that it lasted this long into the whole transition.
Yeah. And my question still stands, where the hell's Bobby Fish?
Like I said, I know that he was injured, but it is kind of interesting because what Kyle O'Reilly still made some appearances when he was injured, or what was he? Was he just not coming into the performance center at the time?
Okay, this I don't know this for sure, but what I read was that he's type 1 diabetic or something like that. So he's got one of those immune deficiencies, if you want to put it that way.
Okay, yeah,
so
I couldn't,
he was staying away from the Performance Center for a while.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember what exactly his story was. But yeah, but they found ways, even though he wasn't there at the performance center, they found ways to keep him involved in Undisputed Era storylines.
Yeah, because he was, when they made the big comeback after Roddy got abducted by Dexter Lumis.
Yeah.
He was the doctor. So.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. Like, they've done a good job of involving people who aren't on TV or injured when they want to. So it is kind of interesting. I would have thought that it's been at least a month, I think. No, Fish has been off since War Games.
Oh, maybe he hurt himself and I forgot.
Yeah, well, I think he hurt himself at War Games.
That makes sense, though.
But it's still been, to me, it's been, unless it's a really long-term injury, and because I don't really recall what it was. You would think that if they really wanted him to be involved in a storyline, a TV storyline, that they at least would have had him there.
Unless he's going to be a surprise at TakeOver.
Uh-oh.
You know, maybe there's a long-term thing here after all, and that's why he hasn't been around. I don't know. That could just be me making that up, too. So, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, it's one of those things where I guess I don't care one way or the other. I like Bobby Fish for the most part, but if they lose him, it's not a big loss either.
He does seem to be getting hurt a lot. So,
yeah. He has certainly had, he had injury issues in ROH too. So this isn't anything to me that's new. So, yeah, if his contract is up and they don't feel like renewing it, that's okay. Like, I mean, he's the oldest of that group.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, I mean, I think he's at his potential. Not that that's necessarily bad. You know, like, he's made it to the main level of wrestling. Like, he's good enough to be there. But I also don't see him even being a mid-card champion, like, at his max.
Yeah.
So, no, like...
Yeah, oh, in the split and all this? Yeah, no. I don't see him going anywhere. And I know it sounds harsh, but... Yeah, I think the heydays were spent in the indies, unfortunately. Oh. So, that's that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, and NXT I thought was good. Some weird stuff, though. The one that stands out to me the most, why would you bring in LA Knight just to job him out already? That was weird.
I was confused from the get-go when him and Bronson Reed started to have a beef. Because I love Bronson Reed, but it is also confusing to bring someone in to win. He won his first match last week.
Yeah, against some nobody.
But then, yeah, immediately loses the following week pretty decisively, too.
Yeah, I mean, clean as clean can be. Which, by the way, in the weirdness of this, that splash is gorgeous.
Oh.
It looked real. It looked like it hit real. And I'm like, how did he not kill him? Like,
what?
That was nuts to me.
I was trying to figure out if that... Was that the first week that they've called that the tsunami? Because I don't feel like
I was wondering the same thing.
Because I don't feel like it had had a name prior to that. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, you guys really need to run with... Like, this makes all kind... You know, New Zealand, big guy, top rope splash. And like you said, like, it's not like he looks bad doing it. That guy get some height on that thing, and he is a massive man.
Yes, and I mean, just the idea that, you know, LA Knight's not dead from that is just crazy to me, man.
Yeah, or anyone that faces him.
Yeah, he came off the ropes, and I'm like, oh, he's going to do something like, you know, brace himself, whatever. No, that was just a flat landing. Like when Jeff Hardy actually hits the Swanton in the wrong spot.
Oh.
It's like, God damn, did he just kill the guy? I don't know, obviously we're not trained wrestlers, so there's obviously, you know, they're all doing something, but it really did look like he just came down full force with his body weight, and I mean, he just killed LA Knight. Damn.
Yeah, and then we're supposed to, in some world, believe that LA Knight can win the... I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to remember how they're doing the North American Championship situation.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one, because that's some confusing stuff. So,
because is it matches and then a battle royal, or is it battle royal and then matches?
I have no idea. I was totally lost on what they're doing. And apparently I'm not the only one, because there are a lot of people making fun of it on Twitter or whatever else. So, but they're going over the rules, and I'm like, what? Like, huh? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? But whatever.
Oof. Yeah, not the best setup for NXT, but I guess it made for some decently enjoyable segments. And like I said, like I'm not exactly buying LA Knight as one of the even if he hadn't lost that match, I'm not sure I'm buying him as a Johnny Gargano challenger at this time. Like,
no.
It makes it heel on heel, which makes things pretty weird.
Doesn't it seem like there's something missing with him? Like, he can talk just fine. He wrestles just fine. But that's all it is fine.
Right? LA Knight?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that both of the main companies have bloated rosters. And when it came out that they had signed him, I'm just sitting there going, why?
Yeah,
like you said, like, I'm not offended by his work. It does annoy me that I'm like, oh my God, you are not changing your gimmick at all by calling yourself LA Knight. Like, you have the same cadence that you had for Eli Drake. It's just in another form. Like, yeah. That's how fucking lazy you are.
See, I actually don't mind, because that's actually what got him kind of, like, popular, or whatever word you want, noticed, whatever word you want to use. So you don't want to abandon that. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get it, but I don't know, man. Like, even when he was in NWA and he was teaming with James Storm or whoever he was teaming with, I was always like, okay, there's this guy.
Okay? Yeah.
Like, that's it. That was like all the, like, mental reaction I got out of it. Like,
well, no. And that's why I'm almost, I don't know what Robert Stone is being paid.
I don't understand why he's there. Why Aaliyah's there still?
Just
because of the way they use him, obviously.
Yeah, for her, it's more of a use problem to me. Like, I felt like she was improving in the ring, but maybe they're seeing something behind the scenes that we're not seeing on the scenes.
Yeah.
Don't know. Don't feel like there's been any rumors, but I also don't feel like she's high enough on the pecking order to get those rumors.
No, not at all. I mean, they had something going with her. Oh my gosh, who was her tag team partner?
Before they moved to Mercedes Martinez?
Yes. No. Before her.
Yeah.
Before the one that Mercedes replaced. She was supposed to go to the main roster as part of Retribution, I believe, and just never went anywhere. Like, they never did anything with her. So, oh my God, I wish I could wish I
Well, no,
remembered that.
Mercedes was it, like they were teaming up before Mercedes went up for like that one or two appearances in Retribution.
No, man, I'm talking way back.
Okay, yeah, I thought that there was someone else that she meshed well as a tag team partner, and it's not coming to my brain either
Yeah, because
currently.
she was like, it was kind of like Vicious and Delicious. She was the gorgeous one. The other one was the power one. Kind of like Dakota Kai, probably as an off aside, probably the most underrated women's wrestler they have, and Raquel Gonzalez. I wish I could remember who the hell the other lady's name was, but
Oh.
I just don't feel like looking it up. But
Yeah, I'm much better about just
Vanessa Bourne?
Oh, yes. I don't think that that
Wow.
was a Vicious and Delicious situation because that's just Delicious and Delicious situation, but
Man, you know what? It always I know we're older, and I'm much more abrasive than you are, and I understand this. But I don't understand. So we've never gotten blowback for this stuff, but it's like we nicknamed Shotzi and Ember Team Delicious, right?
Oh, right.
Because they're awesome. Like
Yes.
the amount of chewing, and I know how this is going to come off. It's too late. The amount of chewing I would like to do with Ember Moon is ridiculous. Just like, argh. But it's like if you say stuff like that now, like, oh, she's not talented? Yeah, she is.
Oh.
Because, yeah, it's like, yeah, of
Yes.
course she is. That's what allows me to not talk about her talent, by the way. So it's kind of like a reverse of the old days where we would talk about how hot the women were because that's all we had to talk about. Like,
Oh,
we weren't exactly
yes.
talking about, oh, that Kelly match was really good. So.
Yeah, it's yeah, the attractiveness level of the ladies is as high as it's ever been, but their in-ring skills are as high as it's ever been.
And that's why I've always been high on women's wrestling as a commodity. I'll still listen to Jim Cornette here and there, even though I do honestly believe he's just stuck in the past with some of the stuff.
Oh,
Now,
yeah.
but I will never question his mind for wrestling because he's still really smart. But he was saying like the men are always the A show and the women are the B, and I'm like that's not how it has to be though.
Hey.
Like. You've got athletic women who are gorgeous. Like some of the chicks on there are just ridiculous. But then they're
The
not mine, but
vast
they are awesome.
majority of them, like I it
Yeah.
like even like Dakota Kai is definitely not a body type that I would normally go for. Like I think that it has been fairly well established on this podcast in general. We were definitely early proponents of one Mickie James. Yes. So let's just say that that is probably more the body type that I definitely lean towards, and I think you lean towards also. But even Dakota Kai is pretty attractive, honestly. Like, yeah, she's maybe not my body type, but I'm just like, man, she's a looker. And, like, yeah, it doesn't even get mentioned because she's the genius of the sky, but Io Shirai is good looking.
Dude, that woman is insanely sexy. Like it is ridiculous how good looking she is.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad saying that at all
No.
because, no.
That I think that's why if we would get any blowback, I think that I always say that I hope that we qualify it well enough that it's just like, A, we talk about their in-ring talent way more than we talk about their attractiveness, no matter
Yeah.
who it is.
Anytime someone would actually ever say something to me about it, I'd be like, man, I was watching women's wrestling that you've never heard of, so shut the sh just shut up. Like, it's
Oh,
stop.
yeah.
So.
Well, that has been another. long time since Stunt Granny. Go back and listen to like the early numbers of the podcast if you can somehow find it.
Yeah.
But those early numbers were talking about women's wrestling in the same light. In the, you know, it's the, to me, it's the NXT women is still the best division in wrestling, period.
Oh, yeah.
End of sentence.
There's literally no way you can argue with that.
Yeah.
Just, you can't. And then if you expand it, WWE has the best women's roster ever.
Yes.
And if you include NXT, NXT UK, SmackDown Raw, even with who you would consider a clunker, okay, it's still better than anything anyone's ever had. Ever had.
Oh, yeah. As much of a disaster as the Raw women's division has been, I would take Charlotte and Asuka over pretty much any of the women in history. Because I think someone was I think it was Cam mentioned that he's like, if you think Lita could hang with the women today, you're smoking dust.
Yeah, no. That's.
And I'm like, yes, I 100% agree with that statement.
Yeah, and again, it's not like we were obviously big Lita fans.
Yes.
But no, like Lita was always a weird one to me because she always seemed so much taller than the other women. She wasn't, but she always seemed like she was, so that made her almost gangly, if you will, which is not the correct word to use, but it's one that came to mind.
Yeah, lanky. It's usually
that's better. Yeah,
correct term these days, I think.
Yeah, and she was attractive, but that was never part of her persona until when she became Edge's side piece, whatever else, that sort of thing.
Oh,
and that's when it was like it was, her. That's what she was supposed to be.
Yeah, she definitely played up her sexiness a little bit more during the rated R days.
Yeah. But no, the old guard, even Trish Stratus, as good as she was, no chance. And I know we've seen her with Charlotte or whatever, but no. She's not going with Io Shirai or even hell, Raquel Gonzalez, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, there might be a little too much of an age gap at that point.
Yeah.
But I think she'd be better off with Io than with Raquel. Like, I think that size disadvantage we were talking about with Nyla Rose and Ty Conti starts kind of creeping into play for Trish and... Definitely Nyla, or not Nyla, Nia Jax, and who else were we just talking about?
Britt Baker.
Oh, no, on the WWE roster. Charlotte?
Charlotte. All right, real quick, someone we'd never mentioned? Bailey. Becky Lynch. Who's just out there somewhere, which I'm wondering if she's coming back at WrestleMania. I'm guessing. I don't know.
It's one of those things that there's been just so much weird speculation about when she may or may not be coming back, Becky Lynch-wise.
Yeah.
But it's just, to me, it's just like, I want her to come back on her time. I don't give, as much as she's missed... Take as much fucking time as you want, man, woman. Whatever decision you make is the right decision.
Yeah.
And who was the other one?
We've mentioned so many names.
No, just the other woman coming back that we haven't mentioned, other than Becky Lynch, who's off the...
Bailey.
Oh, I wasn't surprised because, there was another story there, and that's why I wanted to go with it. I wasn't surprised when I saw some weird headline on my phone about people being left out of WrestleMania. Is this 37?
Yeah, I saw this. I saw the same headline, and I was like...
And it was Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why when you said that, it kind of... It's terrible that it started this... diatribe, and B, I also forgot the second part. But yeah, Bailey is left without something, and I kind of had to laugh. I think she even tweeted, like, hey, if you're not going to get Bailey at WrestleMania, you know, the next best thing is Bianca Belair versus Sasha or something like that. I'd have to go back to look at the exact tweet, but that was the essence of it. And I just kind of, I did the same thing that you did. I just started laughing and I liked it because I'm just like, you know what? She's putting a positive spin on what's got to be a tough situation that at best she's going to be in some weird women's battle royal or something, knowing that she's like one of the biggest stars in the company, but she's on the sideline for this year's like, no matter what they do for her, she's on the sidelines of this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's got no feud going right now. Well, no, she did have a feud, doesn't she?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was with Bianca, that's right.
Like, and she hasn't even really had the ding, is it ding dong hello?
Yeah. So annoying. It's so annoying.
It is one of the few talk shows that I'm just like, oh my god, you are so abrasive that this is actually doing its job. Like, because, like, it's just like, even when The Miz comes out, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be annoyed, so I'm not annoyed.
Yeah.
But Bailey comes out and is so abrasive in that role. It's just like, oh my god, I want to strangle you. And to me, like, she's, and maybe it's just because it's fresh and she's kind of doing her own take on it, that I want to strangle her, and The Miz has been doing it for like a decade and a half, and I'm just kind of tired of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
Like, as good as he is at it, it's just like, dude, I've been seeing this for a lot of years, and I'm not sure that I can completely buy into this, dude. Like, I'm kind of tapped out. Like, God bless you for lasting this long, but... Oof.
Yeah. But no, and that's like, even NXT, I mean, look at all the women they have there, to get back to what we were saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got Candace, who doesn't really do a whole lot, which is kind of weird. All right. So she's
that, well, but right? To speak of Candace, they've already started to follow through on a feud, which the main roster failed to do. Like, as awkward as it was to have Raquel and Dakota Kai be awarded the championships, then lose them on the same night, they're already rolling into another feud that makes sense, since Shotzi and Ember have already had some friction with Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae.
Yeah. I'm expecting that match to be on one of the takeovers, but like, I mean, I guess we'll see, but yeah.
Yeah, it'll be on, yeah, one of the two nights, I would imagine, of takeover. And hopefully they start, because I was with Chris that I was glad they started assigning stuff to nights at WrestleMania this year already.
Yeah.
There were a couple of instances that I kind of missed that announcement. But I would imagine NXT will bring some clarity to... Although they did kind of already start mentioning night one and night two of stuff. With like North American Championship...
Yeah, I think NXT is done announcing stuff. I think that's all the matches, I believe.
Did they announce the women's tag team match then? For a night?
I
missed it?
No, I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but they're already running with that angle. And again, like, their women's roster is so stacked that they should be able to run with a women's tag team division. Like, there is, I mean, we still have, they're finding time for Casey Catanzaro and Lacey Ep- No, not Lacey Evans. Goddamn, man.
Caden Carter.
Caden Carter.
Yeah.
To be in a feud with Xia Li, a woman who sits in a chair, and Boa. Like, and they're good, you know? Like, I have watched American Ninja Warrior for a long ass time at this point. Like, not quite since the inception, but I watched it before it was on NBC. Because what the hell was it on? The Game Show Network or some shit like that?
I really don't know.
When they just used to go, they used to train in the U.S. or like train people here in the U.S. to go over to Japan, and that was the show.
Oh, really?
To participate in, I think it's called Sasuke over there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
So I've been watching that a long time. So I've been familiar with Casey Catanzaro, and she was kind of annoying. Like, she accomplished a lot and did a lot to help the women's brand on American Ninja Warrior, but she was also really annoying. But man, I know that she kind of had that weird break where she seemed like she wasn't sure if she wanted to do wrestling, but she's pretty good. Like, she's good in the ring, and I think she can deliver a pretty good promo.
Yeah, here's my problem with her. She's just totally unbelievable.
Hey, she's a little bit of a one-trick pony.
I mean, she's so tiny.
And she's tiny.
I mean, and she's annoying. There's that too. So
yeah, she'll probably work better as a heel.
Didn't that seem like that's where they were going with her and Caden Carter? The way they were bragging about all the stuff they were doing, how they're going to win and all this, and then they just dropped it?
Yeah. I mean, they could have done an arrogant small heels thing with them, I think would have worked pretty well. Plucky underdog is the other option, you know. I guess I'm not completely surprised that that's an option that they decided to go towards.
Yeah, but I can see the crowd turning on her for that stuff. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, Caden Carter's cool. She's got a cool look too, which always helps.
She definitely has a unique look.
Yeah. I mean, I know the contacts and all that, but it's, you know, I like the idea. Oh. And I know that other women are doing that. Other guys are doing it too, obviously, Rey Mysterio. But
it's still something that not that many people do it. And it's always one of those ones that they're just people that are unnerved by stuff like that. So it always gets something of a reaction.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the dude that came up at the bar that one of my coworkers got freaked out about because he had the red contacts in back in the late 90s.
Oh, and God.
The jackass had his canines filed down to be vampire teeth. So my coworker was so freaked out by the situation, she really couldn't wait on him. She asked me to do it. And I'm just looking at the guy like, you paid entirely too much fucking money for this dumb shit, is all I was sitting there thinking the whole time I'm taking the guy's order. And I'm just like, I'm kind of down with being able to do whatever you want to, but this is stupid also at the same time.
Filing your teeth down, all you've done is guaranteed dental work is in your future. So, I mean, as long as you're good with that, cool. Cool. Looks like whatever you're trying to look like. I don't know. But yeah, but no. So it's like,
But yeah, Caden has a very unique look that I think will serve her well, and she definitely has, since all the kids have agreed that thick is a complimentary word, she is definitely a little more thick than Casey Catanzaro, and that helps out too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, because she has a little more of a sturdy body set. Because she's not that much taller than Catanzaro.
Yeah, two shorties.
Yeah, they're mostly pretty short, but you know, that's how, like, the NXT has already put 3 or 4 women's team out there on a regular basis. You know, like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
That's how, because Dakota and Raquel, Shotzi and Ember, Casey and Lacey, and then
Kate.
Oh, God, man. I did it again.
Pregnant.
Holy smokes.
That's got to be the most amount of times ever Lacey Evans has been talked about on one of our shows, by the way. I mean, that's serious. I didn't even know the time.
There was a fourth team, honestly, that...
Well, Aaliyah and whoever.
Well, yeah, that's just Mercedes for right now. And unfortunately for Mercedes, I don't, like, she's one that, again, like, I know that we've mentioned it no matter who's been on the show, like, why isn't she in AEW? Like, she is not as useful in, like, because she got the tag team thing shtick with Aaliyah pretty quickly. Because she joined the Robert Stone brand because they were going after Rhea Ripley, if I'm not mistaken, initially.
Yeah.
And then that got called off for reasons. And then Mercedes went to Retribution for a couple of weeks, took a couple of weeks off, and then was back in NXT and didn't have anything to do with Robert Stone, but now is back involved in Robert Stone. So, not really loving that story, but I'm also not sure where else she fits. Like, they could work as a tag team, and I think it would be a good thing for the women's division, but I also, like, I don't think that 40-year-old Mercedes Martinez was looking to spend her swan song in wrestling in a tag team division.
Yes, because if you have Mercedes in a tag team division, that means she can help the other women.
Well,
so there's that too.
Yeah.
So,
Generally, at least in the WWE, to me, they've always put more inexperienced people in the tag team division.
Yeah. I mean, so, even putting her with Ember is a smart idea, too. So, even though I think they may have the same amount of years, but whatever.
Ember and Shotzi are probably within a year or two of each other. I would say, experience-wise. Without looking it up, I bet they're within 2 years of each other at best, or at most.
NXT, like, they set up the pay-per-view just fine, which I'm sure we'll talk about next week, because that's... Wait a minute, is next week? That's going to be the go-home, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why they really had, to me, they had that pull apart, or whatever you want to call it, between... Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole this week.
Yeah, I really liked that. I liked how it ended. They throw it away and they keep them apart. Like, don't let them fight. Like, I love the idea that Adam Cole went to his jiu-jitsu studio and wanted to fight, and it didn't really work. Like, you idiot. That was pretty funny. But, you know.
Yeah, I loved how, like, that's one of those ones where it's a real life situation, kind of a real life situation that goes the way you think it should. Like, most of the times in pro wrestling, they'd have Adam Cole get the jump on Kyle O'Reilly because he was, you know, doing other training. But in this case, it's like O'Reilly basically kicks his ass, but his buddies pull him off of him and hustle Adam Cole out the door with ease. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, yeah, that's a believable situation.
Yeah.
It does not happen enough sometimes.
Yeah, but no, NXT, like, they had a lot of good backstage stuff. The in-ring was fine. Obviously, it usually is. But the backstage stuff was really good. I know with, like, their COVID outbreak, some people can't be there. And I always send you, like, my new Thursday text to you is what my old Friday used to be, whenever it was Nikki Cross. Karrion Kross has gotten much bigger. It was noticeable this week when he, you know, when she does the whole fall and pray thing, and as she drops and he's just appearing there, he looked massive. And then Orny Lorcan, who's not a small guy, he looked much smaller.
I do think that that he wasn't Karrion Kross wasn't completely rehabbed from the shoulder injury when he came back, because I feel like he's slowly looked better as the weeks have gone on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this week was the best, because you said something to me and I'm not sure that I'd watched that highlight or not. Oh, yeah, that was not on YouTube, so I didn't see it until I was watching it during the recording here. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, he's looking pretty big. I do think, and Chris and I have talked about this a little bit, is that he's going to have some problems later. In that he's not main roster big, really.
That's true. He could be a giant in NXT.
Yeah, like he's probably, you know, 6 foot, maybe 6'2", like maybe around your height, but he's not land of the giants. Even, you know, like Randy Orton's probably going to dwarf him.
Well, I mean, I think he is like a legit 6'3", which is taller than Lesnar.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Okay, so he never seems like he doesn't seem that tall. I should never say big because the guy's a fucking monster.
Yeah. He's 6'4".
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I guess he is a little bit taller than I expected then. Maybe he will fit in better than I think. And you know, definitely better than Chris thinks.
Scarlett is 5'5". Is that tall for a woman or is that about average?
I think that's in the slightly above average.
I don't know. So that might be part of it. But she's such a tiny woman anyways. She's going to look tiny, you know, compared to him. So, but yeah, no. Yeah, 6'4". He's also 35 years old. Damn.
Oh, yeah. They still have an age problem in the WWE.
Well, if you're not, but here's the thing. I understand what you mean. But if you're not traveling as much, you're wrestling in the same spot for like a year going into, they're saying possibly all the way until September before they have crowds or go anywhere.
Oh.
That's a good way to save wear and tear on your body, man. I mean, you're not going out having to drive and do all this stuff. So.
Yeah, that's still one of the craziest things about wrestling.
Fuck, Damian Priest is 6'5 and 38 years old.
Good Damn. God, man. I guess I didn't realize he was that old. I did realize it's easy to tell that he's that tall.
Yeah, I'm trying to find like someone young.
that's more of the, like, it's just kind of funny that like Jordan Devlin and there are like a handful of other guys, Pete Dunne. A lot of the it seems like NXT UK people are, because I mean Tyler Bate, is he dead or is he still in NXT UK?
He's on NXT UK. That's a weird one. Like he's like the unofficial face outside of Walter, of course.
Oh,
but he's gone through some growing pains. Like I think they really pulled back on his push. Like even him and Trent Seven, like. Seven never wins anymore. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a heel turn coming up there. Then him and Tyler Bate will have something to do.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so like they're all there, but Tyler Bates only, I think, 23.
Yeah, he's still got to be pretty young. Because what, I think he was 21 during the tournament or something like, or was he 19?
He's 24 now. He just turned 24 a couple weeks
Good
ago.
God. Yeah, he's still a child.
Yeah, and he's 5'7".
Well, that his height is going to be his problem. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
it as good as he is in the ring and as well built as he is, it's hard to overcome that height without having as much as I think of him as a wrestler, and it's very highly like he doesn't have that Rey Mysterio, I can pull anything out of my ass kind of material.
Yeah. He's Tyler Bates, a big strong boy, or
Yeah.
whatever. But
Yeah, if you're trying
yeah.
to do big strong boy against a Brock Lesnar type, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's so like Karrion Kross, that whole thing looks good.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Finn Balor wins that match, by the way, which I guess we can get to next week, but
Oh, yeah.
to set up.
unless we somehow feel like doing a predict. Well, I don't even know how we're going to do.
Nah, I can't.
Because
It's
what? Is it Thursday, Friday? Are the takeover nights, or is it Wednesday, Thursday? I honestly just don't remember, and I should look this part up.
Wait, I'm checking the dates here. Because they're not gonna. WrestleMania is no way. Yeah, I guess it is. It's Easter weekend?
No, it's the weekend after.
Oh yeah. So they got two more shows. No. So they got next week is the
Oh,
go
you're
home show.
right. Yeah, you're
All right,
right.
I was getting confused. I was like, oh crap, I'm going to my parents this weekend
But
or next
yeah,
weekend.
it's Wednesday
All right.
seven, Wednesday, Thursday. So we either record directly after the Thursday version not happening or Friday
We'll
that
figure it out.
week.
Yeah, we got a ways to go. So, yeah, what is Friday? Nothing?
Nothing. Probably Hall of Fame, I would imagine.
No, that's on Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Duh. Friday is SmackDown. Duh.
Oh.
Totally forgot. Jesus. But, yeah. But, no, NXT was good. Just to get back. I know we got to wrap up. But,
Oh.
Cameron Grimes made an appearance again. That was good. I know a lot of these guys had to stay home because of COVID, or the scare of it. And I loved how Roddy hits him, and he falls and he yells, "This isn't how, that's not how you do business." He's so great, and so it was good to see him back. But no, it was just a solid show with solid, like Johnny Gargano getting mad enough that he was going to kick open the door
Then
of
didn't.
a. Regal's office, and he just opens it politely and walks in.
I did get a good kick out of that really subtle thing that happened. I was just like, oh, because I thought I saw it on YouTube when I was watching the highlights, but then when I saw the full TV experience, I'm just like, yep, he did it. And I just started to chuckle even more to
Yeah.
myself.
And I love William Regal will get mad, then won't get mad. Mad, won't get mad. And it's just like, you know, we can't wrestle anymore, and it would never happen, but goddamn, that'd be fun. If he's like, enough of this, I'm taking matters in my own hand, just something like that. But, you know.
Yeah. In the long run, I will appreciate him not doing that.
Right. But I like it because he's a general manager and not a guy who's going to be like, oh, I'm going to fight you then. You know, you never have to worry about
Oh,
that. That's what
yeah.
makes it great. But they have to do something about his office. He's in a broom closet with like a black sheet covering up the brooms or whatever. Like, he's a general manager of the show. Shouldn't he have a nicer office to be in?
Yes. The very short answer is yes. Like they still have some work to do. What they think of as an office is weirdly not like an office, even though they probably have real offices that they could just film at.
Yeah, exactly. But
like, I don't know why it's so hard. Like, I'm sure that Shawn Michaels or Triple H or someone has a nice office that they probably don't use much that they could film in instead of the broom closet that he used for William Regal.
Yeah. I also, like, the way they've set everything up, I love the Shawn Michaels stuff. He just slides the ladder and that's it.
Oh.
And you're like, hell yes, because that... Okay, so there are some distractions with NXT. Jordan Devlin's talking about Kushida, and he goes, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I actually like you, which is totally unlike Jordan Devlin. So you think, oh, they're making him the babyface in this. So then he comes out, has the match, and they're booing him on the way to the ring. I'm like, what the hell was the thing 10, 15 minutes ago then? And then they're booing and cheering Escobar. I'm going, what's going on? And then they're cheering Karrion Kross. And then there's a bigger cheer for Finn Balor. And I'm going, that's when I texted you. I'm like, what is this? Like, did you hit the wrong button and decided, well, it's too late? The crowd noise stuff is obnoxious now. Like, it just...
Yeah, as much as it does kind of help and feel like the presentation is more real, I just think that the WWE, when they go in front of real crowds, is in for a real awakening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, because, like, those are just, like, a small example of the things that they think should be cheered, but... It's just like, no one's going to cheer that guy. Like, why do you think that's going to get... Like, it's one of those ones that's... It's so mind-bogglingly... like, I don't know how they're thinking that way, that it just boggles my mind. Like, why do you... Like, you got a heel-on-heel match, and I can maybe buy that people are kind of rooting for Karrion Kross at this time, and that they'd be rooting for Balor, but... Kross still came across a little bit awkward and not really as a babyface taking on Santos Escobar. So, like, it's not like you've completely converted him to babyface territory. But it's still not really a, like, the cheers that they're giving him an audio sweetener are not as good as he's going to get live.
No. I don't know. I'm guessing the entrance will get a big... Well, are they going to have fans?
I don't know. That's the one thing that's kind of interesting. WrestleMania is 25,000 if... Yes, is 25,000 per night. But I'm not sure where NXT is taking place, and I'm not sure if they're going to have crowds. Oh, yeah, you know what? It says at a venue, at least Wikipedia, says at a venue that has yet to be announced.
Oh, well, I'm going to guess there's no fans then.
And it really does hurt. Like, I know that you've bitched to me a little bit in text about it, but the plants on WWE don't make real crowd noise. The people at AEW are real fans. Yes. And there's a huge difference between those two groups of people.
Yeah. And those are some of the hardcores, man. And it makes an absolute difference because you just know. Like, and that's the problem with WWE. No matter what product it is, it's always overproduced. Just have ambient noise so it's not silent. You don't need to tell me who to cheer. Like, to me, that's poor storytelling. It's poor development if you have to tell me who to cheer for. You know, like, I wasn't rooting for Darth Vader as a kid. That's always my standby.
Well, I mean, John Williams did make more ominous noises during Darth Vader entrances and exits.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
There were some audio cues, I think, to help you along in that department.
Yeah. Well, how about Jason? Let's go with Jason. Yeah, I mean, he even had like the had scary music, but you're also like, these guys just murdering people, which is also a poor example, because if you watch those Friday the 13th movies, Jason's the hero. Those people suck, and every one of them deserved to die. So let me find something else. Just trying to think. Just, you know, it's not like WWE's production or tact is basically one step away from a blinking arrow saying "boo this man" or "boo this woman."
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So it's like, guys, I get it. How about if you wrote the story better, I wouldn't like people. And then we wouldn't have any of this nonsense. We could just have noise. Because even Impact's doing that now. They're just putting ambient noise in the background. So it sounds like a crowd. And it you know, ebb and flows the whole way to give you more of a live presentation.
Oh, but it's not like real cheers and boos and that type of thing?
Not too much, no. So, and that's fine. You know, that's all I got to do. Because they're characters. And yeah, I'm actually defending Impact. You know who the bad guys are. I mean, like, Eric Young's group. They're the bad guys. Sami Callihan, bad guy. Moose, Rich Swann. Moose is just a jerk, so I guess he's a bad guy. But it's like, you know who's who and knows, you know what's what because of how they've written, developed, and allowed the people to come to perform. Where WWE goes, all right, even though you're a good guy, you're going to do all the things a bad guy does, but we're just going to put something over it and make everyone cheer for you. What? Okay. Go guess every instinct I have. So, but
yeah,
that had to be said. And I know you guys talked about it, but I thought I was hearing things when Braun Strowman was running around the ring. Then it turns out, no, I wasn't hearing things. There was really a train sound.
Yeah, he was choo-chooing.
Is it a rib? Were they doing that as a rib? Like, I guess we'll find out, you know, I guess if he's on next week and has a match against somebody. There's no chance in hell they can do that at WrestleMania.
Well, and that's what started Chris and I talking about how much, if he does that at WrestleMania, I don't care that I think his politics are trash. Saying choo-choo before doing that is fucking trash. You know, like, great, he can peel the skin off of me. Understood. That doesn't mean I like your presentation.
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't been presented well since winning last year at WrestleMania. Like, that is still something that I am having a... Even though I've said it probably for about 6 months out of the past year, like, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that him winning at WrestleMania is one of the worst things that has ever happened to his career.
It wasn't so much that, it was the way he lost it. You know, he loses to The Fiend somehow. And yeah, he lost to The Fiend, right? No. Roman came in and lost. That's right. Roman came in and beat The Fiend for the belt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that made him look stupid. Like, the whole thing, like, it, I don't know. He's making a lot of money, so good for him. And he seems to think Vince has his back, but it just doesn't seem like it. Like, I don't know. WWE doesn't understand. Like, Vince and his crew don't know how to book anybody anyways. There's a distinct reason SmackDown's better is because I know Edge, Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, some other wrestler, they have a say-so in what goes on. They're part of, like, the writing team.
Oh.
Wow. And it gets better? Well, yeah, look at who's in charge compared to who's in charge on Raw. So... It's just the same thing. It's like a dead horse. that came back alive was like, "Leave me alone," and then died because he kept eating it anyways. So,
Yeah, well, welcome to running a professional wrestling website slash podcast for a decade plus. We've been up and down on many topics over many
yeah.
years at this point.
But man, it's like I'm not buying into this WrestleMania stuff anymore. 'Cause like they're booking some of the angles they're booking for WrestleMania are very good. The Lashley McIntyre stuff I like. I guess we'll leave it at that. But you know, they do it every year. They amp up the creativity, which I know has not happened this year, but most of the time they do. And they're like,
No.
"Oh my God, everything's getting so much better," and then it just falls apart 3 weeks later. And it's like I'm tired of being a scalded dog in this one. Like, no. You guys prove you can keep this up for a year or two. A year.
Oh,
No, I'll give you
yeah.
6 months. Get your quality high and keep it that way for 6 months at minimum. And then I'll believe, oh, things are turning around.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal when you probably have your best ever wrestling roster, but you can't deliver storylines for shit because your main owner needs to hold on to power, even though he's completely out of touch with current reality.
And I know we got to go, so I'm just going to say this. I think it's and I've said this before in other shows, he's spread too thin.
Oh.
He's not giving 100% like he normally did to the creative aspect of his company. He's more worried about business.
Yeah,
And that's
and
it.
I think the last time we brought up this topic, he's doing great on the financial end of the company,
Yep. Yeah.
but the creative end of the company is suffering because the financial end is prospering.
Yeah, it's failing upwards. And, oof. Which
Yep.
we can talk about some other time, but
Yeah, I mean, we have hit a long ass mark.
yeah,
I'm not sure
get
the
out of here.
last time we have actually posted a podcast that is over 2 hours, but here we are. Bell Time Beer on my end, Sideswipe Brewing, Sticky Wicket Barley Wine, aged in OYO rye barrels. It's pretty delicious. I liked it a little bit better the second time around. I've got to admit, I do not drink a lot of barley wines. So this one, the first time I had it, maybe a little awkward, like the taste more second go around. Anything to be consumed from the Charlotte area down in your on your side of the table?
I found my bottle of water. I'm going to skip the first one because it was just brutal today. It's funny, if it was Bud Light, you'd never know the difference. But like when you drink a variety of different things, your taste buds are different. Now, I'm going back to an old standard or a favorite, the Sour Drop Sour Ale from Cabarrus Brewing, the one with cherries this time.
Ooh.
Apparently, they're dropping with oranges, so we'll see how that goes. So. You can't get it unless you're around here, so don't worry about
Yeah, that's it. I actually had a brew dog on Tuesday's show, and I'm like, hey, the people can actually find this at grocery stores. Most people can probably find this at grocery stores.
it.
One of the few local beers that other people can probably find. So, yeah, at Defrango11, at Granny Mays, Brent is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us where you can, whether it's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Do us a favor. Thank you very much. Have a good night, grandkids.